Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Statistics tell us that Americans are living longer, but less well studied is how Americans are staying active longer as well. In fact, as Americans age today, they are often doing more and staying more active to a greater extent than previous generations. My guest today has profiled a number of remarkable athletes in their 70s, 80s, 90s, even one who is 100 years old, who compete in the Senior Olympics. The Age of Champions is a documentary film which follows a 100-year-old tennis player, a nearly 90-year-old swimmers, 80-plus-year-old track and field participants, as well as a women's basketball team in their late 60s who still treat athletic training and activity seriously. Keith Aquitt is the managing director of the Documentary Foundation, the producer for their two previous films, Roughing It and Diamond in the Dunes, which were both televised on PBS. Age of Champions will be seen in 2013 on the network, but you can see the film this evening in a special showing sponsored by AARP in a premier event at OSU Tulsa's Conference Center. Doors open at 5:30 and the event gets underway at 6 o'clock with Oklahoma Senior Olympians, as well as some information about AARP and a showing of the film. Keith Aquitt joins me today on Studio Tulsa. Keith Aquitt, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
This film, Age of Champions, as I understand it, came about sort of through serendipity. You were actually working on the details of a different film when somebody invited you to the Senior Games. Is that what got you interested in doing this particular film?
Absolutely, and you used the right word. Serendipity is what I attribute finding this subject to. And my film partner and I were working on another film. We were at a conference for nonprofits in the arts. And the woman sitting next to us introduced herself as the head of the Senior Olympics Association. And when she explained to us that every 2 years she puts on the National Senior Games in different cities around the country, athletes who are 50 and older compete and sprint and leap and dive for gold, silver, and bronze medals, we knew we had to make a film about it, about the subject. So we began production literally the next day. We sent out a casting call to all the athletes enrolled in the upcoming games, and we had over 1,000 senior athletes respond to our call, and we ended up choosing a 100-year-old tennis player, an 87-year-old pole vaulter, a team of grandmother basketball players, and two swimmers in their late 80s, one of whom is battling cancer as he's training.
This is one of the most interesting things about the film is you see the issues of aging while these folks are still competing. I know Earl Blassingame, who is a field specialist, he kind of does hammer throw, shot put, javelin, discus, and the like. He just lost his wife 4 months prior. You know, he's dealing with grieving issues. You look at Bradford Tatum, the swimmer you mentioned, he's dealing with colorectal cancer. And he's actually adjusting his chemotherapy around his training and his athletic schedule. So it's really fascinating to see how these folks are balancing their continuing athletic life and the issues of aging.
Absolutely, absolutely, Rich. I mean, you know, you hit the nail on the head. We wanted to make a film that wasn't just about sports. You know, neither myself nor my film partner really thought people around the country, old and young, would be interested in seeing a film about older adults just, you know, throwing javelins and shooting hoops. We wanted to make a film, and we endeavored to make a film that was really about the human spirit and really an attitude towards life, that no matter what age throws at you, what challenges you face, whether it's arthritis or colon cancer, like you've mentioned, or a deceased spouse, or, in the case that basketball grandmothers, no female sports in college. There was no Title IX. They didn't have any opportunity to play sports as an adult. But, you know, as they became older, adopted basketball as their pastime and passion. And, you know, so we wanted to make a film that really was more universal. And that's why when we were choosing athletes to be in the film, we wanted to choose athletes that represented different parts of the country, different races, the different sexes and different ages, and also different challenges. So our hope is that when people watch Age of Champions, it's not so much that they want to go pick up a pole vault and, you know, go for it, but really that they can appreciate how challenging it is for one to stay active as they get older. And it really inspirational.
Now, how familiar were you with the Senior Games prior to having this conversation? Had you ever attended one? And how big is the Senior Games? I mean, I assume it's age categories. I mean, you don't have 65-year-olds competing against 85 or 90-year-olds.
Absolutely. You know, I had never heard of the Senior Games. I'd never heard of any sort of competition having to do with older adults. And I think a lot of people in the country can relate with that, can relate with the fact that this is a very foreign idea. People 50 to 100 plus competing in athletic competitions. I mean, when she explained that that's what she does, that that's the event that she puts on, it was almost like a light bulb moment. I mean, it was really just this sort of, every now and then, and not too often, I'll hear something that completely shatters my perception of what I thought to understand. And, you know, that's how this was. When this woman told us about the games, we knew that it was such an interesting topic and very unique, and we hoped that many people would feel the way we did, that they didn't know about it and that they'd be very curious about it. And that's what we've been finding as we've been screening Age of Champions around the country. And, you know, for the scale of the competition, which makes it even more amazing, is there's over 300,000 senior athletes, 50 and older, who compete in senior Olympic events, either at the local, state, or national level. And so, you know, really the Senior Games, many people call it the best-kept secret in sports, and I agree with that.
You know, and it's kind of interesting because it is a combination of a typical athletic event, and we see scenes of that where it's just like, you know, I'm going to win, you know, at just about any cost, I'm, you know, legally, but I'm going to, you know, that competitive fire is there. But also at the same time, there's this sort of camaraderie sort of feeling, the sort of the sense you would get around the Special Olympics, you know, for people with developmental disabilities. There's a sort of celebration of achievement.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, that was something that really struck me at the filming, at the actual games. We did quite a bit of filming before the games with our athletes. We did filming afterwards, but, you know, really the heart of the film takes place at the actual competition. And that was an amazing thing. I mean, there's a line where one of our characters, a 90-year-old swimmer, he is getting out of the pool, and he had just won. And one of his competitors says, "Oh, you know, Brad, it's great to see you again. Congratulations on your win," you know, despite the fact that he had just lost. And he says, "It's great to see people again here. It means we're still alive." And I think that kind of, in some way, sums up how a lot of the athletes feel, is that they're each other's biggest cheerleaders because they know what each other's going through. They understand the challenges, the pain, the aches, and they all choose to either medicate it or ignore it, and go for the gold. And I found, as someone in my late 20s, I found that just so inspiring. And and what was great was that other senior athletes found it inspiring too. I think the other athletes are really the biggest motivator for some of these other characters.
And they range from, your subjects range from 65 plus to 100 years old. In fact, the first person we meet in the film is Roger Gentilhomme, and he is a 100-year-old tennis player. He lives up on Cape Cod, grew up in New England, and still playing tennis at 100 years old.
I shouldn't admit this, but he was our first shoot. He happened to be the first character in the film, but he was the first character we filmed with. And we showed up, both my film partner and I, for the initial meet, greet, and initial filming. And we were, at the time, in our, you know, mid-20s. We're both 26 years old. And we both had a very specific idea of what to expect from these senior athletes, especially Roger being a 100-year-old tennis player. That, you know, he's 100. He's not going to be that good at tennis. He's hitting the ball. It's great. He's 100. And that in itself is an accomplishment, which I still believe. And I think he could see that look on our face, that's what we were thinking. And he walks up to us. We haven't really spent much time with him yet. And he says, "Hey, boys, let's play. I challenge you." And so he and his 94-year-old doubles partner challenged both the director and I to a match. And again, I'm always embarrassed to admit this, but they beat us. Cumulatively, they had about 130 years on us. But that that wasn't enough. But I'm glad that happened because it really opened our eyes. You know, these athletes, they're not just seniors. They're not just hitting the ball. They're good.
I mean, yeah.
They're very competitive.
He's lamenting, you know, I don't serve the way I did when I was 90.
Well, even at a 100, Roger would say, "My backhand is getting better, boys. Watch out."
Well, that was your first introduction. You go, wow, this is something different than we expected.
Yeah, yeah. But I'll tell you, we didn't challenge the Tigerettes to basketball, that's for sure. Even though they're 65 to 75 years old, all the six members of the team, they're six-time national champions. And you know, to be honest, I don't even need to play them to know that they would sweep the floor with me on the court. So these people, they're great athletes. I mean, they're really wonderful athletes. The competitions are fun to watch. And, you know, obviously I'd love to have all your viewers or your listeners come to view our film at the screening. But one thing I'd encourage them to do, too, is every city, Tulsa, has its own senior games competition. And it's probably, you know, on the fourth page of the newspaper when it happens. But I'd encourage your listeners to go check it out. It's very inspiring, and it's a lot of fun, and really, it's good sports.
You know, it's funny. The film documents a rival, several rivalries, actually, as a matter of fact, and one of them is between the Tigerettes. This is the Louisiana women's 65-plus basketball team, and then from the upper Midwest, a group called the Great Lake Classics. And I was watching the Tigerettes, and I'm watching them practice, and I go, They're playing a couple of kids in the gym, and they're just mauling the guys. And then you switch to the Great Lake Classics, and the Classics are going. They've won a number of gold medals, and their first comment was, "Well, the Tigerettes. How do I say they play a? We're a finesse team, and they're kind of a power team. I'll leave it at that."
Yeah. Yeah, they have a reputation. That's for sure.
Yeah, and what was interesting is watching the Great Lake Classics, and I mean, they are a finesse team, but they are incredibly skilled. I mean, they're very athletic at age 65 plus, and they look like they could be playing, you know, college basketball for that matter.
Absolutely, and that's a interesting point that you just sort of brought up. That you know, it looks like some of these athletes are so smooth and so quick, and have such, you know, great reflexes and great instincts on the court that you'd think that they were collegiate basketball players, that they were, you know, competitive at that level. But what's interesting is that a lot of these women, they're at an age where there were no opportunities to play sports in college.
Right.
They predate Title IX. They predate the opportunity for women to really compete. And at that level, and so for the majority of the women who the Tigerettes included and their competitors like the Great Lakes Classics, like the Arkansas Diamonds and the North Carolina Silver Slammers, I mean, all of these women, they played when they were younger. Almost all of them played when they were in high school.
They played in high school and their career was over.
And their career was over as soon as they turned 18. And for almost all of them, certainly all the ones that I talked to, and we interviewed, they would, their career ended, their basketball career ended with high school, but then they went on to raise children and have their careers, and then pick the sport up again when they were retired or when they were in their 50s, you know, as a way to get a little exercise. So it's really an inspiring thing that they could open that chapter up again in their lives and kind of not miss a beat. And you know, the Tigerettes are, and that story comes through really in the film, and that's a story that we really wanted to tell.
You know, one of the things I took away was the fact that, you know, this is an unintended effect of Title IX, because probably until Title IX came into effect, most of these women said, well, I'll never play basketball again. All of a sudden, women are playing basketball in college. They are playing professionally. They are playing in international competitions. And all of a sudden, they said, well, why can't we?
Yeah. You know, the Tigerettes tell this great story too about playing ball in their older years, and you know, they tell the story in the film. I hate to keep giving away all these great little stories in the film, but The Tigerettes were at an airport. They're flying to a tournament outside of Louisiana. And there's this real tall woman that they run into at the airport, and they're always recruiting. They're always looking for the next Tigerette, and they say, "Hey, you're a real tall lady. You should come play basketball." And at this point, the Tigerettes are a bit younger. They're between the ages of 55 and 65. And the woman looks at them and says, "Play basketball? Are you kidding? I'm 42 years old. I'm too old to play basketball." Meanwhile, the Tigerettes are, well into their late 50s and 60s and playing all the time. So,
my guest today is Keith Aucoin, a documentary filmmaker. His latest film is titled Age of Champions. They'll have a premiere event this afternoon at OSU Tulsa, their conference center. The doors open at 5:30. The event begins at 6 o'clock. It's co-sponsored by AARP. There'll be representatives of AARP as well as local athletes from the senior games. Age of Champions is doing a tour nationwide, and eventually the film will be showing on PBS in 2013. And Keith Aucoin is my guest today here on Studio Tulsa. Well, from the Tigerettes and Roger Gentilhomme, you have Bradford and John Tatum. You mentioned them earlier. They're 88 and 90-year-old African-American swimmers from Washington, D.C. This is an interesting story because, in the days of Jim Crow, there were just really no swimming facilities for a lot of African-American athletes, and yet here are these guys. They're going at it. Bradford is battling cancer and still training and still really arranging his schedule around the senior games. You see how important this competition is to these athletes.
Absolutely. The competition to them is, the importance of swimming to the Tatum brothers really transcended sports and actual competition in the film. Swimming for John and Bradford Tatum really, to me, represented an ability to overcome some serious challenges, institutional in the case of segregation, health in the case of Bradford, battling cancer as he's training. And really, they represent such a heartwarming and positive attitude that too few people, I think, have in life. And I come across too few people that remind me of them. And they're a lot of fun. And that camaraderie that we had talked about earlier really comes through in their brotherly love. They really overcame a lot of challenges together, and they're overcoming another one during the film.
And there's another scene that sort of reminded me of the challenges all of these athletes face. I mean, the aging body is there are scenes of some of these athletes working out in doing lightweight work, and you just see the skin. There's wonderful close-ups of, say, I think it might have been Roger Gentilhomme, doing some leg lifts or on weight equipment. And you have these close-ups of their legs, and that's actually how the film starts. It's a wonderful scene of these guys on the track, and you just see these, there are wrinkles. You can see veins. You just see the age. And it was really interesting to see that even though these guys are athletes, they still have a lot of the same trouble of a lot of seniors, the loss of mobility. I know there's a scene where Bradford is getting down to pluck a coin out of the reflecting pool in Washington, D.C., and he can barely get up. He's great in the pool, but he was really having trouble getting up. And the idea that they can overcome these sort of natural aging barriers to compete is really inspiring.
The idea behind the film when we came up with it was to really show and highlight that juxtaposition between competitors, athletes. When we hear the word Olympics, we think of Michael Phelps. We think of these athletes and their Mia Hamm. We think of
Adonises, really, in a way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. We think of people who are in their 20s that are these picturesque bodies and that's why we wanted to really highlight that juxtaposition in our film of these older bodies. I mean, bodies that have gone through a lot, decades of challenges, and then show them in sporting sort of scenarios. When we were casting our film, we chose to focus on the older end of the spectrum. You only have to be 50 years old to be a senior athlete, And the way the Olympics works is competitors compete against each other in five-year increments. So there's 50 to 55-year-olds that all compete together, 56 to 6-year-olds, and all the way up to 100-plus. And we found, obviously, all the athletes to be inspiring in their own right. The 50-year-old triathlete that competes is amazing. But we really wanted to focus on that older end of the spectrum to really highlight that sort of age-defying idea of, hey, you can have arthritis, you can be a cancer survivor and still be an athlete. And it's really all about that mindset. And, Roger had another really funny quote that I love, and that's that he outlived his arthritis. He's like, by the time I turned 95, my arthritis left me, and it's been great ever since.
You know, I would think if you actually watched the 50, 55-year-old category, it would be like going to a regular track meet or a regular athletic event, because these guys, you can just see the athleticness of 60, 65, and 70-year-olds. You figure a 50-year-old, it's kind of like going to a regular athletic event. And yet when they get, as these athletes age, you get that, again, that sense of camaraderie along with competitive fire that seems to be a part of the competition.
Yeah. It's amazing for another reason. The younger end of the spectrum for these senior athletes, it's always a sort of a humbling thing when you see even for someone in their late 20s, to see a 55-year-old man with a six-pack ab. And it's kind of a it's amazing for a different reason. So I think that we're really happy with the choices that we made in the film and focusing on these older athletes, because I think that they were, the characters in our film were really very appropriate vehicles to sort of share the themes that we wanted to get across. And, and one thing that we haven't talked about much yet is sort of that idea of shattering one's expectations for aging. And that's what we hope that all of our characters do. They certainly did for us filmmakers going through the process, for many of the people in the audiences that we've shared the film with, whether they're old or young. We want our film to really help you think about aging in a different way, not just for yourself, but how you see older people in your neighborhood, in your home, and maybe reconsider what they may or may not be capable of. And I remember that light bulb moment when we learned about the senior games. It just knowing about its existence really kind of shattered a lot of ageist ideas I had for older adults and what they could do.
I was really surprised to see they do events like the pole vault. Now, of course, they're doing it a fraction of the height of say Olympic athletes, but I just think of the wear and tear on hips, falling from a height of 7 to 8 feet. That's dangerous when you're 85.
I'll tell you, Rich, 8 feet's a pretty big fraction.
Yeah, no, it is.
That's a pretty big fraction for me. I'll be honest, I was intimidated. I didn't even try the pole vault. We were filming, and Adolf says, hey, you want to try it? And I said, nope. No, I don't.
And that's Adolf Hoffman, who is a Texas rancher who is, I guess, mid to late 80s. Competes in just about every sort of field event there is and pretty much wins them all, doesn't he? And he's setting records, which is the other thing, which is, I think, is interesting. When you go to the Olympics, the expectation is, will we see a world record? These athletes are setting world records every time they meet.
There are some athletes at the senior games that just continually set records. For instance, there was a man who was a senior athlete who was 94 years old at the time and just in amazing shape. And he, every event that he competed in, he set a record because he was 94. And if he pole vaulted 6 feet, that's a world record. If he long jumped 5 feet, that's a world record because he's 94. And that's another thing, too, that I think is wonderful about these competitions is there are sort of it's sort of compartmentalized in a way where these senior athletes are really encouraged to do their best, but in a way that they're not really at risk of injuring themselves. They're pushing themselves just as much as their peers at their ages are pushing themselves, and so it's a very interesting competition. But you do see, as you get older, the competition becomes less fierce. Yeah. One of the characters in our film, Earl Lassengame, as you'd mentioned earlier, he's 89 in the movie, and you know, he would say that there were times when he would be he's bragging to me about his gold medals. He's like, there were times when I got these gold medals because I was the only one who showed up. So, but he liked that. He likes gold, and he's got a lot of them to show.
And of course, Earl is in the same category with Adolf Hoffman, and so it's you know, that competitive fire is still there because he's like, boy, I really want to beat Adolf. I just want to beat him once. Anyway, the film is Age of Champions. There'll be a premiere event this afternoon at OSU Tulsa's Conference Center. Doors open at 5:30. The event begins at 6 o'clock. And Keith, you're going to have representatives of AARP. You're going to have some local athletes from the Senior Olympics there this afternoon. Tell us about the event.
So the event's going to be really special because we're going to have our filmmaker there. You know, we find it's really fun and really special to interact with the audience, to not just press play on the movie, show it, and do an applause and end the night, but really to have a conversation. And so we'll have a Q&A with the audience there. And then also AARP has made this a free event. They're sponsoring the event as part of their national You've Earned a Say campaign. And the reason we're working together is, you know, our film is all about how amazing things are possible at any age. And their campaign, You've Earned a Say, is all about keeping people engaged in life, in the community, in politics, in policy, things that affect all of our lives, no matter what your age, young or old. And so AARP is going to do a community conversation about staying engaged in the Medicare and Social Security debate that's going on, and staying engaged in the community. And so it should be a lot of fun. Again, it's a free event, and we're really looking forward to sharing the film, and we're going to have some local Tulsa senior athletes there as well who will take questions from the answers, talk about what makes them tick, and we're looking forward to it.
All right. Well, the event, again, takes place this afternoon at OSU Tulsa. Keith, appreciate your time today. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich. And one last thing I wanted to say is if folks want to RSVP for the event, we do have an event webpage. It's ageofchampions.org/OK for Oklahoma.
Keith Aucott is the managing director of the Documentary Foundation and documentary filmmaker who made Age of Champions. Age of Champions will have a premiere event this afternoon at OSU Tulsa's Conference Center. Doors open at 5:30. The event gets underway at 6 o'clock. It's sponsored by AARP. To RSVP for the event, visit ageofchampions.org/OK. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you miss one of our recent programs, they're available online anytime at publicradiotulsa.org. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.